morning to all those on the internet. This morning, I'm going to talk about things that affect us in the near future. Because you was listening to the news yesterday, the terrorist acts in France. Might find it'll be here. But when it gets here, it's going to be much worse. That's the reason we're here today, to avoid the things that's coming. Because many sermons you've heard, you've seen prophecy come true. But yet, the world don't know. God gave prophecy for reason. But who pay attention to it? Where is the understanding? You read it, it's just words. Why? God haven't given understanding. But God gives stories. And we know stories end in climax. It ends in peace and happiness. Man's trying to do things his way without God. Now, God spoke through his prophets, through his seer. There is none like me declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things that has not yet done. God is warning us of the future events of destruction to mankind. But the destruction is coming to Israel first. Why? God chose them to make them a special people. That means you. You are special to God. He called you first to give you that knowledge. Man was warned, but he continues to increase in sin. God is watching, and he shows us. Going back to Noah, he saw that the wickedness of man was great. Doing things his way, forgetting about God. All of his thoughts were wickedness. The sinful mind in the time of Noah is the same as the sinful mind today, increasing in violence, violence upon violence. And that's what we saw in France last night. Continuous violence getting worse and worse. And the violence we have today is due to religion. No one has understanding, but a very few. But those troubles are coming to Israel. We got to be careful about what we say and what we do. If you obey God, they're coming for you. You obey the devil, you're going to war, they're coming for you too. That's what these religious wars are all about. They say, no, this is not a religious war. Think about it. They're cutting people's heads off if you are not a part of them. That's what ISIS is doing. And they're coming from all sectors of the world. But the truth is not told. But through all the ungodliness and lawlessness man is doing, God has a plan. His plan is of righteousness and peace. Not war. For we find that the Lord found favor in Noah. Noah obeyed him. Noah saw the things that was coming. He knew of the flood. He walked in the fear of God. And God saw that he could use him. God gave him revelation of the coming flood. He gave him that revelation and gave Noah instructions. He showed Noah how to build an ark in preparation for the flood. And it was done in the sight of mankind. Think he didn't? Man didn't see it? He saw it, but paid no attention. He was busy working lawless ways, disobeying God, doing what he wanted to do. And he said, there'll be marriage and giving in marriage. What is marriage to man today? Don't think about it. It's a dollar bill. Men and women, I don't like you. I got to get rid of you and go get somebody else. It happens time and time again. And time again, they're married under false pretenses. Not for true love. Love is what I want, not what God wants. I want you to do. Think about it. It happens in many. Where is the peace in marriage? War starts in the home between husband and wife. And it goes down to the children. The children learn those sins and they duplicate them. And when the flood came, you think that those without understanding know? Did they prepare? No. They only knew when the water started to rise. When the water started rising, they looked for somehow to save themselves. They only were destroyed because they did not know God. You ask your question. I'm asking you a question. Do you know God? Do you seek to obey him? Or do you seek to save your own self? 9/11 was a great example. At 9/11, right after the planes crashed in the World Trade Center, think about the increase in church attendance. Those that were in God's church, grew up in God's church, many of them returned. You find a couple of months later, they went back to their lawlessness. Oh, things are okay. Nothing's happened. I can go back doing what I did before, walking in lawless ways. But the time would come when it will catch up with them. Because they didn't take the word of God seriously. So that brings me to my topic. God warns his people of the coming destruction. Israel went into captivity the first time. He warned them. They didn't listen. God gives his people instructions of obedience to prosper. That's what they're there for. Then he gives them warning of instructions and destruction that will come upon them. Just before the first captivity, did they obey that? Did they listen? No, they never listened. Turn to Amos 3, verse 7. So God gives us what we need to obey him before he brings destruction upon us. Because he tells us what we need to know. Amos 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he tells his servants, the prophets. He tells us. Now you know what we need. He tells us exactly what we need to escape the coming destruction that's coming upon Israel. Before Israel went into the promised land, they were instructed not to do according to the doings of the Egyptians or according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where the Lord was taking them. He told them, nor shall you walk in the ordinance. He told them to observe his judgment and keep his ordinance and to walk in them. Did Israel do it? Most of you know. They didn't do it. Let's turn to Leviticus 20, verse 22 and 23. He reiterates his word to us time and time again, so that we will learn to obey him and listen to him and be prepared for the things that's coming. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments, and perform them, that the land where I am bringing you to dwell may not vomit you out. That is very important. He given you something to help you, guide you, but are you going to listen that you will not be vomited out of the land? In verse 23, and you shall not walk in the statutes of the nations which I am casting out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them for the things that they did. They did not obey him. And one of the first and greatest things that caused a nation to be vomited out of the land is idols. Israel had a problem with idols. Today, in this nation, they have a problem with idols. They pay more attention to their idols than God. Turn to Exodus 20 and verse 3 and 4. And God explains it to us, what he expects of us in worship. He tells us. Because if you go to any synagogue, you'll find there's an idol somewhere in there. You go to people's homes, you'll find an idol there. Why? God explains it to us in Exodus 20, verse 3 and 4. You shall have no other gods before me. Then in verse 4, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, that is in the waters under the earth. No image on earth you cannot compare that to God. It's like looking at the sky during the daytime when there is no cloud. But God is there. When Moses went up on the mountain to receive instruction from God, the children made a golden calf to bow down to and worship. For this sin, you find that those that left Egypt did not go into the promised land. Why? Idol worship. They all died in the desert. But God still has a plan for them. Only Joshua and Caleb went into the promised land. And those that were born after they come out of Egypt. Moses wasn't allowed to cross. Why? Because one time, anger can keep you out of the kingdom of God. But there's one specific idol that caused Israel a lot of trouble. That idol was named Molech. Whoever of the children of Israel or of the stranger who dwell in Israel who give any of his descendants to Molech, God said he shall be put to death. This is the only one he said about. Immediately death, put to death. Why? And there was also be stoned to death. Why? Then the Lord said, I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from his people because he has given some of his descendants to Molech to defile his sanctuary and perform his holy name. Why was God so strict? And then he said, if the people of the land shall in any ways hide their face from the man when he gives some of his descendants to Molech, and they do not kill him, they will be punished also. Why? If we think about it, and I did a little research on it, and in the Smith's Bible commentary, Molech was an idol that was heated from the inside. And what they did was take infants and put them on this idol and burn them to death. The people thought nothing of it. They thought they were serving their God. And what do we have today? Something similar to that? They don't burn them to death. They got Planned Parenthood. What do? Kill many infants. And this nation, and any nation that does that, will pay the penalty for murder. As long as you do it by our law, it's okay. You can murder your children. But if you don't, we will prosecute you and send you to prison. What law is that? What about God's law? God said he knew you from conception. But Israel do not know. They made their own laws. Now let's reference 1 Kings 11, 7 through 13. And we'll see why God was so hard on Israel. Because when King Solomon first took the throne, he was loyal to God. He obeyed God. He served him. But in time, he turned to God, from God. Because he built high places for Chemos, the abomination of Moab. Then he built high places for Molech, the abomination of the people of Moab. He built these things for his wives. He turned from God. David never turned from God. King Solomon did. King Solomon came to him. God came to King Solomon and showed him his sins. You were wrong. He wanted King Solomon to turn to him. King Solomon did not turn. He continued in sin. And then God said, for this I will take the kingdom away from you. And he did take it away. He gave it to his servant. He left one tribe, and that was Judah. So you got the northern 10 and the southern 2, which is Benjamin and Judah. For this sin also caused Israel to go into captivity. Idol worship. Same thing we have today. Now, for the sins that I was talking about at first, let's reference Leviticus 18, verse 22 and 22 to 30. And today, they come up with same-sex marriage. Did God plan that? No. Israel has just changed what marriage is. Would God allow that? He said marriage is between a man and a woman. But the nation of Israel say no. This is what he says. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Then he said, nor shall you mate with an animal to defile yourself with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion. If you look at the word abomination and see how the scriptures explained it, you'll find that's disease and sickness. All these things is causing disease and sickness. He gives that to us in the food laws at the same time. He tells us about these things. He said, do not eat the swine. It's abomination to you. Do not eat the shellfish. It's abomination to you. Do Israel accept it? No. It tastes good. With the swine, you'll find out you can't cook the toxins out, and you can't freeze it out. You might kill the microbes in there, will cause your body harm. You eat it, it's toxic to your body. That's abomination. That causes sicknesses. And the same thing with shellfish. That's terrible. Because shellfish is poison. They talk about the lobsters, about the poison that's in lobsters. You can freeze it. It don't take the toxins out. You cook it, It don't take the toxins out. But when you eat it, it's toxic to the body. The first thing happens to you if you get shellfish in your body with enough toxins in it, what it does, your lips and tongue will get numb. Then it moves down to your respiratory system. There is no antidote for that toxin on earth. And if you're not strong enough, you eventually die. And the only thing that can medical, in the medical science they can do is a respirator. That's all they can do. Now you see what abomination is? You're actually storing God, what God gave you, that physical life. And God says, do not defile yourself with any of these things. Like the nations that you're going in to take the land from, don't do it. Because you defile the land also. But people can't see. The land carries disease also. When a nation is in a land and they defile themselves, they defile the land also. The microbes that will kill the human body are still there. It takes time for the land to purify itself. If it's not purified, you go in that land, you catch those same diseases. Same thing when, if you look at the Spanish, when they went into South America, you'll find that the natives of the land died. Many of them died because of the diseases that were in the bodies of those that were defiled. But the nations don't look at that today. We got medical science. I tell you what God gave us. He gave us that spiritual knowledge that man is hiding. Man will hide anything good from us to keep us from being healthy. They give us the abominations that they have. Because God says, you should keep my ordinance, says that you do not commit any of these abominations, customs, which are committed before you. And do not defile yourselves with them, because it is destruction. Now, God gives us warnings of prophecy and the fulfillment of prophecy that produces righteousness. Let's turn to Proverbs 29, verse 18. And God explains it to us. And we can use this daily in our lives. Because Revelation is full of these different prophecies that God gives us. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. That's what keeps us in contact with God. Because God shows us what is coming. And we do not, if you obey God, you're not casting off restraint. You are doing his will. It's there to teach us and keep us in check. As we think, we check ourselves to make sure we are in line with the will of God. And the thing that's coming upon Israel will not come upon us. God will save us from these things. You can be right among it. And God's protection is with you. And God gives us one thing, his righteousness, spiritual understanding. And then he chastens those that do not obey. Even the ones of Israel that do not know him, he chastens them also. He will not stop until he get that righteous change. And if one reference the end results of God's chastening, you will find the end is righteousness. Because God's rod of correction brings prosperity. And looking at Leviticus 26, it gives the sequence of chastening in order of God's rod of correction. And similar information is given in Ezekiel chapter 5 and chapter 6. Now we can reference Isaiah 1, verse 22 and 29. I'm not going to read this, but I will talk about it. And he says, "Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken." Now he said, "I've nourished and brought up children, which is Israel, and they have rebelled against me." If you look around the world, wherever Israel is, especially the English-speaking people of the world, they've rebelled against God tremendously. And they don't know who they are. Some of them call themselves Gentiles. Gentiles call themselves of Israel, but they do not keep God's laws. God says the ox knows its owner, and the donkey knows its master's crib, but Israel do not know. My people do not even consider, they don't consider God. But God's chastening. He said, a sinful nation of people laden in iniquities. He called them a breed of evildoers, children who are corrupt, and they've forsaken the Lord. They've turned completely backwards. What caused this? If you go back to the time of Moses, God gave them righteous instructions. Moses told them, when he received the message from God, he told them to pass that knowledge down to your children, your grandchildren, in continuation throughout your generations. Was that knowledge passed down? It wouldn't be like it is today if that knowledge was passed down. Israel did not pass that knowledge down. But God made sure that that knowledge got through us. To us through the King James Version of the Bible. We got that. He made sure Israel had that knowledge. And those that read it most don't understand it. And what do you need to understand that knowledge? God's Spirit. God, the only one, can you to understand it. Because, like I said before, they're words. You can read it, but it has no meaning. Has no meaning unless God is calling you and you got his Holy Spirit. Because he said in Isaiah, your country is desolate, as happened now. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence. It is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. These things are coming. But who pay attention? Who look at it? Who consider this? We, as God's people, must consider this in all that we do, because it will be upon us before we know it. That God gives things, does things in order. He tells us step by step. In reference to Leviticus 26, verses 14 through 29, we'll see it. And we can see it today. And it said, but if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you do not perform my commandments but break my covenant, then he starts part one. They say, I will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you. What do we hear today? After 9/11, you hear a whole lot about terror. In France last night, what did you hear about terror? It really haven't got here yet, but it is coming to the United States and England. It's going to be much worse than what happened in France. God is warning us to obey him and keep his commandments. He said, wasting, disease, and fever shall consume your eyes and cause sorrow of heart. You find it all over Israel, but it's in small numbers. Those numbers will begin to increase every year. And as they increase, Israel still do not consider. They still turn away from God. We got science. We got the medical. The medical and science can't save you from all of these things. That's why God's telling us about them. Man can't do it. Only God can do it. And he tells them, you should sow your seeds in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. It's not a punish yet, but it's slowly getting there. To man it's slow, but we find out it's going to be only increase. Then God said, I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Haven't been defeated yet, not totally. It's getting there. It's getting to that point. But people are afraid to fight that battle to save their country. And plus, God is not with them because they would not obey him. He said, those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. If you look at the governments of Israel today, you find those that not of Israel is reigning over Israel, and it's increasing. It's a small number, but it's going to steadily increase. Because why? They will not obey God. Now, part two. And after all this, if you do not obey me, then I'll punish you 7 times for your sins. Look what Christ has done. God has done. He raised that bar of correction. It's going to be more stern correction. He said, I'll break the pride in your power. That's systematically done, step by step. If you look back at Britain, which is the descendant of Israel, they had power, pride in their power, after they won the war against Spain. Became one of the greatest nations in the world. It was so great, they called it Great Britain. They owned colonies around the world. Well, where's the power today? What happened? The first thing they did, they disobeyed God and went into idol worship. When they went into idol worship, what happens? Morals fail. Then when your morals decline, what happens next? Military decline. Also, your economy declined. Britain's economy declined because they would not obey God. And if you look at this country, the same thing. A descendant of Israel. What's happened? After World War II, the United States was a powerful nation, one of the powerful nations in the world. Once they dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they knew they had a lot of power and a lot of pride. But what they do, they turn against God. They destroyed the countries that they went in. They destroyed the culture. Why? Money. We are in control. Then they flexed that power during the Cuban Missile Crisis. What happened? Russia was sending parts to build missiles in Cuba. And the United States blockaded Cuba. What happened? The ships that from Russia that had the missiles on them, they went back. The new missiles never got to Cuba. So they flexed their muscles and said, yes, we are a powerful nation. But when we got to Vietnam, if you watch, that was an unpopular war. People hated that war. Here's where you see the pride start to diminish. They had the Vietnamese, Northern Vietnamese, beat all the way back to the DMZ. And then they watched them as they built arms. And once they built up the arms, they started moving south, taking over everything. U.S. forces left. They ran. Where's the pride? military hardware left laying around. Much of it was dumped into the ocean, trying to get out of the country. Where's your pride and your power? It's diminishing. And today, what do? Where's the pride? Some of the military, they were taught pride. Because they would tell me, oh, one of these ships can give a country a bad day with the missiles they had. But the thing is, where's the pride of the leaders? The leaders have no pride. What happens to that power? That power diminishes because they can't use that power. And God has made it so. They can't use it. What have they done? They turn from God. Look at idols. Same thing written to you. Moral character. Look at the moral character today. There's no country as bad as the moral character of the descendants of Israel. But they say, we got morals. Look at the nation. Then God said, the borrower is slaves to the lender. What are they doing? They're making a nation of slaves because they borrow so much money. We got to have our freedoms, got to have this money. What is it doing? Destroying the nation. Well, we will know that the pride of their power is completely broken when there's a call to war and no one goes about it. The day is coming. You find a little pride there that will soon be gone because they turn against God. He said, I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze. What does that mean? The weather don't cooperate. Some years now we find that the weather don't cooperate for growing food. And he said, your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. We're finding that it's on the increase. But who pays attention? Those that God called. And pay attention to the revelation that he's given us. Now, part three. He said, then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you 7 times more plagues according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few in number. And your highways shall be desolate. These times are coming. You find now in the cities, you've got mountain lions walking in the cities during the daytime. These animals normally dread the presence of man, but there's a change coming where they don't fear man. This is coming. Now let's drop down to part four. If by these things you are not reformed by me and walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you. I will punish you 7 times for your sins. He raised the bar again. He said, I'll bring the sword against you that will execute the vengeance of the covenant. When you are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hands of your enemies. God has already spoke about living close together, too close. When people live in condos and apartments, you find that diseases are easily spread from one person to the next. But God has protected an individual to keep him from these different diseases that's going to affect much of Israel. And he said, I will cut off your supply of bread. 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall bring it back to you by weight. And you shall not be satisfied. Why? Because of famine. It's coming. The plant don't produce enough to feed you. Also, war. When somebody started attacking someone, they don't have time to get the proper nourishment to keep their health. And let's drop down to part five. And after this, if you do not obey me, but walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you in fury. This is the point where Israel will start to change. Change will come around. I will chasten you seven times for your sins. You shall eat the flesh of your sons, and you shall eat the flesh of your daughters. You talk to people about that today, they look at you and say, no, we're not cannibals. We don't do things like that. When the food gets short, you can't get food, somebody's going to think about it. You say, let's take him. It happens today. And people get hungry. He's talking about Israel. It happened Israel when in first captivity. It's going to happen in the next one coming up. And Ezekiel gives you the same thing, but in a different way. It's going to be much worse. Because the people will not listen. They want to have their own way. That's why he called them stiff-necked people, because they won't change. They don't know their God, but God's going to make them know him. Ezekiel 5, verse 9 through 10. This is where Israel will begin, they return to God and learn how to obey him. For today, who is God? They don't pay attention. All they pay attention to is their lawlessness. What they gonna get from someone. Not giving anything. Ezekiel 5, verse 9 through 10. And I will do among you what I have never done, and the like of which I will never do again, because of all of your abominations. Therefore, fathers shall eat their sons in your midst. Sons shall eat their fathers, and I will execute judgment among you, and all of you who remain, I will scatter through the winds. God say, this is going to be much terrible than that first captivity. Those that obey God will see this happening. It will be a normal thing throughout Israel. Do you pay attention? Are you taking the truths in and the things that's coming that you will tend to obey him? That's what it's there for. When they go into scattered around the world, this time they will know who God is. They will start to turn. What he said, he separated a few of them from this world, from famine, from pestilence. That they will declare all the abominations of Israel. They would teach it to the Gentiles, even going into captivity, just like he did Daniel. Daniel went into captivity. What did he teach? God's righteousness. God was with him. Those few that God choose this time, when they go into captivity, they will be preaching God's gospel. It's continue on until Christ comes. And this is what he says about the cities of Israel that they were taken out of. He said, I destroy your high places. They're talking about now. Ezekiel talked about this after that first captivity. He cut you on your incense altars and cast your carcasses on the license form of your idols. It is in the near future. And he said, my soul, abhor you. Do you listen to these things? Do you take them in? Or you just read and forget? It's not there for us to forget. It's there for us to take action and to teach our children to take this action. Like Moses said, pass it down from one generation to the next. Make sure they know. For what happened? One third died by pestilence. Then you find one third died by the sword. One third goes into captivity. And God said, I will take out the sword against them there. Why is he taking out the sword? To correct them. There's correctness still to be made. Why? Because there is still sin. And when Christ returns, we'll find that God will bring Israel back to the promised land. A small group of people. It won't be a great number, because most have died in the lands that they were in. Israel will seem to just disappear among all the nations, except those few that know who God is, those true few that chose to know him and obeyed him. Then when Christ called them, they'll start to return. And just turn to Zechariah 13, verse 9. And we'll see what Christ is doing. And he's doing the same thing in us. He's bringing us through the fire. He's cleansing us. And if you look back in your mind and see where you came out of, and then look forward to your future, you can see righteousness. You'll tell yourself, I don't want to go back there. I don't want what I was before. That's God working in you. When you tell yourself, I don't want that, you turn to God. You learn in obedience. You count yourself worthy to escape these things that's coming upon you. It won't come upon you, but all those around you will see. Zechariah 13, verse 1. And just listen to the sweet righteousness that God gives his people for the obedience. This is happiness. This is prosperity in his righteousness. I will bring one third through the fire, refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. And I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. You have a whole nation that God brought through all these atrocities. It was just teaching them to obey him, to prosper, not to be vulnerable and destroy yourself and destroy the land around you, but be prosperous in his righteousness.